Well, my daddy left home when I was three, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
Michael Wittry is the chairman of INCH. It's the Institute for Naming Children Humanely. The members of INCH feel that a child's name is something that will be with them for their entire lives, and parents should choose these lifelong labels more carefully. Good morning, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Your name is Michael.
Yep.
Nothing strange there.
Nope, not at all.
Nothing all that interesting and exciting, though.
No, but that could be a good thing.
That could be good, depending on the kid, right?
Yeah.
Now, what about this song, Boy Named Sue?
Well,
Johnny Cash describing a guy who was named Sue, and he felt that it made him strong because his dad was going to be a, how do you say?
Yeah, I wouldn't be there to help you along.
An I'd absent
be a,
father.
Yeah, vagrant wine-drinking, trailer-hopping hobo man.
Well, I guess it would make you stronger, but I think you'd get sick of being asked about it after a while.
Being named Sue.
Yeah.
So your organization, INCH, is dedicated to making parents think more about the names, right? All right, well, thanks for calling. No, tell me more.
Okay, well, the Institute is actually, well, at the moment, just me.
It's just you. Yeah, I see.
Yeah. And the site lists a bunch of different kinds of names that people give their kids nowadays that aren't necessarily good ideas.
All right, what are some of the bad names that you would like to see lessened?
Well, they come in different categories. Among them is the, my personal pet peeve is the how about another last name category.
You get that in radio a lot, actually, guys with two last names.
Really?
Yeah.
People will take, for instance, Kelly. Well, I guess we get two first names, don't we?
Yeah, Victor Norman, things like
that. You get a lot of two first names. I apologize.
I've never heard two last names.
Oh, Taylor Smith. There's so many little Taylors running around through in elementary schools these days.
Yeah, Taylors are all over the place. One I've noticed a lot for girls recently.
Mackenzie Jones.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Phillips.
Yeah.
Hunter's a big one, too, nowadays.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hunter Washington.
Hunter Scott.
Yeah, Hunter is almost, I put that in a different category. I put Hunter in the bogus blue blood category, which people try to give their kids names that will sound more impressive.
Or wealthy.
Right, but when you look at actual rich and famous and important people, they don't have names like that.
Their name's Sam. Richest guy in the world's name's Sam.
Right, or Dave Rockefeller, or...
Well, Rockefeller, I'm sorry. Rockefeller's a great last name. I wish I had Rockefeller for a last name. But, are there any poor Rockefellers? If there were, I think they'd quickly kill them and hide them.
Yeah. Make them change their names.
And you got to
sue them.
You're born into that. It's the first names here you can control, right? Yeah. That's what you want to see changed.
Right.
So, Michael, what got you started on this? Did something happen in your life to make you think that something needed to be done?
Well, the local newspaper runs a baby register every year where you send them $3 and it'll print pictures of your cute little kid who was born this year and birth information. And I was reading through last year's edition, and on the very first page was a picture of a kid named Maverick.
And that would be the fake blue blood kind of thing, right?
Should be
a car, not a person.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure whether I would put that in the abstract quality category, where people give their kids names that are qualities in the hope that they'll grow up to display those qualities.
Yeah. You know, Michael, I'm listening to you for about 10 minutes here, and I've decided you're one anal dude.
Well, yeah, I am.
You've got everything in a little category. Where's my name? It's Bob.
Bob is approved for use.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah, I have an index for boys and an index for girls on whether they're approved or not.
Well, wait a minute. My name is kind of boring, though.
Well, it is, but...
How many Bobs are there? There's Bobs everywhere. Where's my individuality?
Well, the benefit to Bob, though, is that every time you say your name, people know how to spell Bob.
That's true.
And with some other names, there are just you have to stop and spell them for people, and that's just a big waste of time.
Sure. So are you in favor of all the names that that are part of that joke of describing different people? Like, what do you call a guy with no arms and no legs hanging on a wall? Art. What do you call a guy with no arms, no legs dumped in the water?
Bob.
You know those?
No arms, no legs on your front porch is Matt.
Matt?
Yeah.
Yeah, most.
Those are all good names for you.
Right. You don't run into... Well, in some names, it's almost asking for puns. Like Anita for girls.
Uh-huh.
That's just begging.
Anita boob job.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Anita man, yeah.
That sort of thing.
Is there a girl named Anita man somewhere?
I bet. People give their kids names without... When people pick names for their kids, they pick the first, middle, and last, and they say the whole thing out loud, and it's like, you know, like, Anita Marie Mann. That sounds great, but then they don't realize that it's short to Anita Mann.
Right, right. I had a friend when I was a kid. His name was Thomas Thomas. People called him T-Squared. Ended up dying of a drug overdose.
Probably the name was the beginning of his...
Actually, undoing. I don't know. I didn't know, didn't follow him long. I mean, he was headed for the drug overdose. I don't know if it actually happened. I was just...
Well, you'd think in the case of some people like that, you would...
He's probably listening right now.
Yeah.
You
would think about that. I mean, Dick Trickle. Surely, didn't they realize if your last name's Trickle, you don't name your son Dick? Although he's a famous race car driver.
Well, they probably thought it was Richard, and they just didn't put... They didn't think ahead, right?
Well, if that were my name, I'd go by Ricky.
Ricky Trickle.
Hey, much better. Michael, how about some names I've never been able to stomach? Callista. Was she the handmaiden, handjob maiden from the Greek Empire or something?
I don't Callista. Know. I think.
You just added a new title to handmaiden that I'd never heard.
Handjob
maiden. I think that's some kind of asteroid.
I'm assuming when somebody.
He's a barrel of laughs, isn't he, Michael? Michael, you're the life of the party.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming in historically when a name gets tarnished, it doesn't get used as much. You probably don't see too many Adolfs running around in Germany right now, do you?
No.
Yeah, is Adolf pretty much done?
Yeah, Adolf's pretty much gone with. Sometimes just one notable person can kill off a name entirely.
Hmm, really? Give me some other examples. All right, thanks.
Genghis. How many Genghises?
How many Genghises? Yeah, Genghis
see?
Khan.
Right.
But I admire Genghis Khan. That guy knew strategy, and he knew winning. There's books about him.
Yeah, well, there weren't too many Genghises to begin with.
All right, his parents just, would not have passed muster.
Yeah, well, I don't think Genghis Khan was even his real name. I think he picked that as a nickname.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought maybe his mom had, like, really bad flu. when he was born.
And what would you be naming your child?
Genghis. His real name was Sammy Khan.
Probably not a lot of little OJs running around on the playground right now, is there?
No, no. Well, then again, there weren't very many Orenthals in the first place. But
it was Orenthal an attempt to make a black man sound rich? And like he could act?
I don't know why they picked Orenthal.
Who's named Orenthal? Is that a black name? Are there more than one black Orenthal?
It's the only one I've ever heard of.
I just think that some parents like to ram random syllables together.
Oh.
Kind of say, all right, that's it, it's a name.
So you're against inventing your own name for the first time? Just too risky?
Yeah, but probably because what you're doing is you're saying to everybody that's ever lived before you, your names aren't good enough for me.
That's right, little Laquanisha.
Okay. Worst names. You got a worst names list?
My site has a sideshow which lists some of the most freakish and bizarre names we've come up with. I've got them from several different sources. As soon as it loads, I'll be able to read off.
He's sitting there waiting for his own site to load.
Yeah, it's...
What man hasn't done that?
I usually don't have a hand free for the telephone, though, when I'm doing
that. Yeah, I know, me neither.
Yeah. We have one parent who named her sons Viper and Mercedes.
Viper? I dated a girl named Mercedes.
Yeah, well, Mercedes was a girl's name, and that's where they got the name for the car after.
Uh-huh.
But since then, it's been more associated with the car than the person.
There's a girl on the radio here named Mercedes, actually.
Is there really?
Yeah, she's very, from what I understand, nice girl.
Yeah, Mercedes, I think, is a hot woman's name.
Yeah, but it means she's high maintenance and costs a ton to get into.
That's okay, and it means you can throw her up on the hood, too, I think. Hey, here's where you belong, Mercedes.
Nice undercarriage, baby.
Yeah, and...
Michael, you know, we're trying to get you going.
Yeah, well...
You're a very serious dude, Mike.
Yeah, I don't know, I just kind of... I woke up recently.
Wake up to find that you weren't a funny guy?
Do you have any kids, Michael?
No, I don't.
Oh,
I wouldn't think so.
Ding.
A guy with sock drawers as neat as Michael is probably, I'm thinking, got a boyfriend. I don't know.
another parent with a problem here named her kids Madrid, London, Paris, and Rome.
Madrid, London, Paris, and Rome? Those were the kids?
Yeah.
Wow.
They didn't spell it like the city. They spelled Madrid with two D's.
No, that's pretty bad.
A lot of people do that for individuality. Like my wife's name's Kelly, but it ends with an I. But everybody...
Thereby assuring that everyone will misspell it throughout her whole life.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, every time she says her name, it's Kelly, K-E-L-L-I. You know, that's 5 seconds now.
5 seconds of her life wasted.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, Mike, I'm with you. Let me ask you how you feel about the people who get married and they don't take the husband's name, Hillary Rodham Clinton and all that.
That doesn't really bother me. My site is more of a first names thing.
I can't believe that.
Okay, Mike. Yeah,
if I went into last names, the site would be so huge
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to find anybody.
You couldn't handle all that.
No. So how about the little, how many little Tiffany's are going to be running around the world? How many little Britney's are we going to have?
Oh, yeah, Tiffany and Britney, they're very common now.
Is Britney coming back because of Britney Spears?
Oh, yeah.
I want my daughter to have big hooters, so let's call her Britney.
Well, Britney's been coming back since long before Britney Spears.
Right.
That's why there is one.
It's been popular throughout the 80s because people...
But I'd hope she'd send Britney the way of Genghis and Adolf. I mean, you see a gal like that doing that? I don't want my daughter doing that.
Yeah, well, she'll be gone in 5 years anyway. We'll all forget about her and people will move on.
Michael, do you have any kind of psychological training to make these assumptions about names? It's just kind of a pet peeve thing.
It's just a pet peeve.
Yeah. How did we find you, Michael?
That's a good question.
Actually, our Michael found him.
Really? Yeah,
our anal Michael, Michael Jones.
It was an anal Michael meeting.
Convention. Yeah. AMC.
All right, Mike. Hey, it's an interesting thing. You have a website, I assume.
Yep. That's inch.stormpages.com.
Inch.stormpages.com. Are you making any money? What do you do for a living, Mike?
I'm a student.
You're a student at where?
University of Iowa.
Oh, well, congratulations. Yeah, you're getting radio interviews. And you really are a load of laughs.
Well, I hope that people will laugh when they read my site. But, you know, occasionally I can get people to laugh in person, but...
Not too often.
No.
Not on command.
Perhaps if you had a funnier name.
Maybe I did, but then again, if I had a funnier name, I'd probably get sick of it real fast.
All right. That was pretty cool. Michael Whitry in Iowa City, Iowa. Mike, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, and good luck with the website.
Sure. All right. Thanks a lot for having me.
Take care. Slow day at the interview ranch, Mike.
You almost said tumbleweeds rolling
through
that
painting.
Yeah.
A lot of guys can write, but they can't talk. That's why they're writers.
That's why they're journalists.
Right.
Yeah. Well, he was nice. It was nice enough.
When I saw this interview coming down the pike, I thought it was a racial thing, because his sites were all Laquisha and Kashwanda and Gaboomba. Or whatever, you know, there's so many
but
names.
But I like those names, too.
Yeah.
I totally disagree with everything this guy said. I think the more interesting, unique, and unusual your name, the better off. And so what? If you have to spell it for somebody, that means they remember it. You know what the Dale Carnegie used to say about the most important sound a person can hear is the sound of their own name.
That's I've heard right. that, yeah.
And, you know, for me, I mean, the whole name thing is just, you know, it's very depressing because it's boring. Hi, Bob. All right, then. Well, no further discussion required about that.
Okay.
You know, where if my name is Laquisha.
People are going to discuss it.
Hey, Kashwanda sure. Rivers in the morning.
I just think, you know, it's nice and all. I hope he has fun with the website, but...
And one thing he does say that's serious, though, is think before you name your kids, because they are the ones that are going to live with that the rest of their lives. I mean, there's a lot of sunshines and stuff, you know, walking the planet from the parents of the 70s.
Sure. People named after the LSD.
Right.
That's really bad.
Our twins, Orange Barrel and Window Pane, here they come.
Okay, we're going to call a guy live in Israel. He is a young man who's making a big name for himself by taking a very common but unusual name. Tomer was his name, and that's still his first name. Tomer Chrissy, actually. He has legally changed his name to Tomer.com. You think this guy's a little behind the curve? You think he's just getting his hula hoop and his bell bottoms?
I was going to say, next year is going to be Tomer out of business. Tomer bankrupt here.
And he's in Israel. What does he do for a living?
He is a tech worker, but like everybody in Israel, he's also part of the army. And I'm curious to ask him about that. I think it's required that everybody between a certain age become part of the Israeli army. And he's an intelligence specialist in the Israeli army.
Yeah, everybody does a mandatory 1 year. Every Israeli citizen, even United States citizens or United States residents who are citizens of Israel, get called back and have to go back to Israel to serve their 1 year military hitch.
Wow.
Hey, man, when you've been fighting for 2,000 years, everybody got to do their part.
I mean, everybody used to serve a couple of years in the military in my dad's era, too, right?
There was a draft.
And did everybody get drafted?
No, we had enough people.
If your dad was president, you could get off?
You could fly for the Texas National Guard.
Right. All right, he's on the phone right now, Tomer.com in Israel. Tomer, how are you?
Great.
All right, you're in Israel as we speak, right?
Yes, I'm at work at the moment.
You're at work now. That's a great phone connection, Tomer. Who is your phone company?
A phone company, it belongs to the company that I work in, Converse.
Do you know the name of the actual phone company?
No, I think it's Bezicom.
Is it PLNO, or what is it?
Actually, I'm not sure. There is only one big company. No, there are several, but one is quite big for a long time, and it's called Bezic.
It's called what?
Bezic.
Bezic, okay.
It's a cell phone you're on, too, right?
Okay.
No, he's on a landline. You sound great, Tomer. Anyway, it's hard to believe you're in Israel. Years ago, you know, it would have been a lot harder to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. Tomer.com. That's your name?
Yeah.
Now, how do you spell it?
T-O-N-E-R.
Yes.
Dot.
With a dot, like a period?
Yeah. Uh-huh. With a punctuation. And C-O-M.
So it's period C-O-M, as
right.
opposed to D-O-T-C-O-M.
Yes.
All right. Why did you change your name, Tomer?
Okay. Actually, I see it as a kind of connection between man and technology.
Between man and technology.
Right. A surname, in my eyes, is a meaningless archaeological artifact, and my desire is to give it a new meaning, simply more functional one, that will suit the 21st century. I see the definite connection between two things that apparently have no bond, name and domain address. Together, they created a new unique meaning. What do I mean? I mean that there cannot be two persons in the world in the name of Tomer.com that has also the site
Tomer.com. So do you have the site Tomer.com?
Of course.
Because that's all the name you need.
That's the whole point, yeah.
So we should all be named .com. We should all be brothers on this planet.
I will tell you what I think about that.
Well, you don't want me as a brother? Hey!
What?
What if I name myself .com, and what if everybody names themselves .com?
Right now, I will tell you what the benefit for me.
Uh-huh.
After that, I tell you what I think about other people that could do this idea. I see it because of its uniqueness. Like an international identification card that every person in the world could access it from.
Yeah, but Tomer, you've just taken .com. That's the prime name.
That's the Smith of the internet.
Yeah, you can't have that all by yourself.
Yes, you can.
Unlike a regular printed business
card. Yes, you can, Bob. Don't make him throw on
you.
What?
Just a second. Unlike a regular printed business card, it's enough that a person will know my name to find me.
No, I understand why it's good for you, Tomer. But I'm saying, if I follow your theory, then everybody should, their last name should be .com, and everybody should have their own internet site.
No. You haven't heard my theory to its end.
All right, let me
a little bit of
sure.
It. If someone else has a specific site, he can change his last name to be exactly like the domain address.
Right.
Which means that maybe in 30 years from now, if someone that knew him from the past
Cuckoo.
Could only click on the internet his name and get into him, what?
Right.
Today it's very difficult in usual searching techniques
right.
to find a friend that you lost 20 years ago. But if someone do this thing,
right.
in 20 years from now he can find me with no time.
Tomer, but the problem, Tomer, is you've aced out every other Tomer. My name's Joe Bryant, but some doctor in Florida owns that already.
Other Tomer has a problem.
Yeah, tough for him. Too bad for him. I claim this territory for me, Tomer. All right, Tomer, that's interesting. Now, what sort of things are you planning to do with your website now that your name and you're famous and you're, you know, getting interviews around the world?
A professional company is going to build the site. They're going to be.
Is it going to have? What is it going to have on it?
Things about me.
Things about you?
They're going to be, let's say, things
we
that
find
I like
this guy.
To do, music that I like to hear.
Mm-hmm. Is there a Mrs.com, Tomer?
What?
Is you there a Mrs.com?
Do you have a woman?
No, there is.
There is no woman. No.
Ta-da! Do that one.
I think
win the pool.
I'm too young for...
How old are you, Tomer?
I think I'm grown. 25. I don't think that I'm going to marry soon.
You're not going to marry soon, no. No,
you're
a bit of a geek, and
you're in the army.
I don't think as it was published in the media. I don't think that I'm an internet geek. I don't know.
They you're not a geek. You don't think you're a geek, Tomer? You name yourself .com. I'm sorry, man.
Just,
you win the sweepstakes.
They just wrote what they figure out would be the best to sell more newspapers. I don't know.
Okay. So Tomer, you're in Israel. Israel is still having a problem with the Palestinians, right? I mean, there's unrest in your country, is there not?
There is a problem with the Palestinians. But yeah. I think that in this issue... It's
what do you think the solution...
...that you will stick to politicians.
Right. Well, I just want to know, from a 25-year-old guy perspective living in Israel, what do you think the solution is to that ages-old problem between the PLOs and Israelis? You must have in your mind what would fix it.
The reason my mind thinks the same.
Okay.
I'm thinking about something about to tell it in English would be very hard for me because it's a very complicated problem.
To tell in English would be
Hebrew,
hard.
But you won't understand it.
Well, that's what, you know, it reminds me of Spock on Star Trek when he said, I'd tell you my name in Vulcan, but you wouldn't be able to pronounce it.
Yeah, he's probably right, too.
I can't hear you. Just...
Well, give me just sort of a hint. Try me.
He's sending troops.
Hint about what?
Huh?
Hint about what?
You say?
A solution. A hint about what he said.
I want to know what would solve the problem.
I don't know. I told you. It's a very complicated problem. If I knew what would solve the problem...
You'd be president of Israel.
I would probably going to be a politician, but I'm only a computer programmer.
Can't people just compromise? We'll take half of these shrines, you take the other half, we'll draw a line down the middle of the library, or maybe we'll make it a completely, like Disneyland, we'll make it a park, and everybody gets to go in?
I don't know, it doesn't look like Disneyland.
No, it doesn't look like Disneyland.
No, but I mean, couldn't you make it like a neutral area where everybody could go, where both sides are represented? You know, like Switzerland? Maybe Disneyland was a bad... Demo.
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. It's a different situation from anywhere else. People have been trying to solve it for almost 100 years. It's not it's not quite simple as you think it is.
Are you a religious man?
Definitely not.
You're not a religious man?
Definitely not. Atheist.
Well, you live in a religious country, right?
No, not quite.
Okay, so you don't believe in God?
No.
Really? You think like when you're done, it's just like poof, and there'll be this website sitting out there doing nothing?
That's the thing that scares me.
Wow.
Wow.
Yet you are in the Israeli army, and I understand in a couple of days you have to go to active duty, and you might be asked to, heaven forbid, fight for, in a sense, not only your country, but a way of religion.
I would be glad to fight for my country, because that's where I was born, that's where I was educated, and I think that most of my life I will live here.
Okay.
Like, I don't think everyone else.
So he believes in country, but not God.
That's right. I don't see the connection, by the way.
Between country and God?
Yeah.
Well, Israel was a Jewish state. It was created as an area for Jewish people, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's created for Jewish people, but people in Israel live quite differently from where they were belonged in different states before they came to Israel.
Right.
There is a new meaning called the Tzabar in Hebrew, which means the new Israeli, which is more secular.
Right, secular. Before you go... Tomer, I got to ask this because it's sort of just we're leading in this direction. He's obviously disavowed any religion. What about your parents? Do you have a mom and a pop, a mother and a father?
Of course.
The Chrissy family?
Yes.
How do they feel about you taking on the name .com? Did you call your dad?
Well, they like it very much.
They do like it.
I didn't know that my mother. I thought that she didn't know it, but I was wrong. She knew it from almost the beginning, and she liked it very much.
I find it hard to imagine. I could see your mother, but I could find it hard to believe the dad would like it.
Abnabs, he'd love it.
Really?
Well,
you're tight. You tell nobody knows you're crazy.
Maybe I should get a picture of him with me. Which says with I don't know.
All right.
With something that both I like it.
All right.
People will see it.
Tomer.com in Israel. Tomer, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful day and a great life.
Kid me, his father is the happiest man on the planet today.
Yeah.
That's right. You tell him all your name is .com. Don't tell nobody your name is Chris. Nobody.
Have Get out of the house.
I have no son. That is Toma.com, the kid who lives in the upstairs apartment.
Disavows God.
Absolutely no connection whatsoever. He runs a website. He's in military intelligence. You know what military intelligence in Israel is?
What is that?
The round rocks are the ones they throw best. That's right there. That's the one you want to throw right there.
Bob, Spike, and Joe.
Bob Rivers in the Morning with Spike O'Neill and Downtown Joe. Danny Woodburn is one of Hollywood's biggest little people. Danny stands only 4 feet tall, but his list of TV credits is huge. He appeared on Baywatch, Murder, She Wrote, and some of the greatest of the Seinfeld episodes as Kramer's buddy, Mickey Abbott. Currently, Danny is starring in the UPN series Special Unit 2. You can see it Wednesday nights at 8. Danny, welcome to the show. How are you doing? Hello, Dan.
Somebody lower a mic down to him.
Oh. Dan, you there?
I'm here.
Oh,
there you are.
Fabulous.
Hey.
I'm glad it's fixed.
You kids didn't turn your radio down in there.
We suck, man. We have no technical savvy whatsoever.
Yeah. Sorry you had to be on this show.
Somebody took a technical whiz.
That's it.
I like that.
Hey, Danny. You're so well known. How come you weren't Mini-Me? Did you not want it?
Well, I didn't go out for it.
Okay. Were you too tall for that part?
I don't know if it was a matter of being too tall.
How tall was Mini-Me? That guy was a nice
Vern
guy, too.
Royer, yeah. He's about...
Is, I think he's like 2'4".
Okay.
Oh, that's...
That really?
That's small, yeah.
Yeah, he
he's
is.
Really tiny.
Yeah.
Very tiny.
Congratulations to you, by the way,
for
doing so well and for essentially not having a disability. You know what I mean?
For not having one. Yeah, I'm lucky that I don't really have one.
But, I mean, a lot of people in your situation, in your shoes, if you will, are, they have a tough time of it.
Well, I've gone through a lot, physically, to get to the point where I can still be on my feet and do what I'm doing.
Cool.
A lot of people don't know what a difficult physical time it is for little people, because, I mean, everything is a medical situation.
Sure. Everything is screwed up.
Yep.
About the only thing I'm envious of you on, really, is that if you get to appear on Baywatch, You've got the great view.
I knew you were going to say that.
Not the first time it's been said, I'm sure. What if there is a little person? We know we have some listening to our show. If someone's listening right now, they'd probably love your advice on how to deal with life, how you've coped with things, and how to keep your chin up, so to speak.
I would say don't let society do anything to bring you down. I'd say, you know, keep your own head about you. You know, when I was a kid, I sort of realized that I was a little different. And I was about 4 years old, and I went to my mom, and I said, am I going to, you know, grow like everybody else? And she said, no, you're not. And I said, okay. And that's pretty much how I've lived my life ever since, you know. It's not really, it's not a matter of size. It shouldn't be an issue with people. Mm. And as long as you don't let society sort of impinge their views on you, you'll do all right.
Did you start acting then as a kid when you found that out, or is that something you fell into later?
As a kid, all I ever wanted to be was a veterinarian.
Really?
Yeah, for like 12 years of my life, I wanted to be a vet.
You talk about being right height for Baywatch. He's the right height for most dogs.
That's great.
I'm telling you.
Oh, that would have been nice. That's a nice, and what a great thing to want to do. Veterinarians are full of compassion.
Yeah, and then I went on to, changed my mind. I got accepted to pre-med at Penn State.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I didn't go. I instead went to Temple University in Philadelphia and got my degree in film and theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you picture Danny as, you know, as a gynecologist? I'm going in. I'm going to take a look.
Like a Fantastic Voyage kind of thing.
I'm sorry.
I get such a wonderful, poignant speech.
I know, but you know.
Right back down to the dirt, don't you?
I apologize. All right, Danny.
You obviously have your own fantasies about this.
Yes, I do.
Isn't it funny how the four-footer is the big man in this interview? Isn't that funny
how that's true. All right, Danny, no, I appreciate you being
Everybody's
cool
small in some ways, and obviously mine's visible and yours is not.
Yeah, that's right. I'll accept that. The new UPN series, Special Unit 2. Tell us about your role in that.
My character is Carl, and Carl is a gnome, or a link, as they refer to us.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me. And Carl is an informant. He's under house arrest for felony burglary or various things like that. And so he has to sort of work to get out. So he works for the police force and helping them track down other links so he can be free.
Mm. Sounds fascinating. UPN is really getting adventurous with shows. You know, so many networks, they just copy everything else that's out there.
Well, I think they just acquired Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so I think we're going all out as far as as many sci-fi and occult mystery shows as well.
I see the other networks, some of them, except when they're on with me, as being fat and lazy, and UPN being very adventurous.
They try harder.
Well, when they're on, we say, great job with that, you know,
man,
that game show.
Man, that Touched by an Angel is the bomb.
We try harder.
Yeah. Well, but when you're UPN, you can, right? You got to take some shots.
Well, you know, you got to be careful about your slogans, too, because, like, Northwest, their slogan is, we just know how to fly. And I've been on. And that's pretty much all they know how to do.
Uh-huh.
Have you learned how to serve drinks for the good of God?
Yeah. Get your own shit.
All right.
That's okay.
No problem. Danny Woodburn. Danny, the show is on UPN. What night is it, Joe? Wednesday night.
Wednesday night
at 8.
Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Danny, a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. I like Danny.
Great guy.
He was good. See, the deal is, as long as you allow him to be nice about the small person thing, you can, because you know he's done the gynecologist joke at parties.
Sure. Oh, he's heard
them all.
Absolutely.
Going in. What a visual with the scuba gear and the light helmet like a miner.
Well, he'd be a specialist.
Yeah, he would.
Okay. Do you ever know any short people? You know a couple, don't you?
I know quite a few, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? The funny thing is you don't know about the physical. He mentioned the physical limitations these people have. Mm. The body organs don't quite work right, and you're always at the doctor, and there's always something coming up.
Right.
So the infinite amount of optimism these people have in their lives, it's mind-boggling.
Oh, imagine this. I mean, even when they are working right,
mm-hmm.
imagine walking into a urinal and saying, oh, boy.
You can read the soap cake right there in your face.
Yeah.
It's
got to be tough.
Yeah, this world is not built for people that size, basically. I mean, anywhere you go.
The only thing good is that when you fly, it's always first class.
You got plenty of leg room.
The story that came out, it's just one of those odd stories. This one from Vienna. And it says, blowing up dead cows, banned. Tourism cited. The gist of the story is the Austrian province of Vorarlberg is banning the practice of blowing up dead cows with explosives. And the deal is that, you know, when a cow dies, it's huge. It's very, very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
What do they weigh? Like up to 1,000 pounds, right?
The big up ones? To a ton.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 2,000,
yeah.
Easy.
And instead of hauling it out with a helicopter, which costs huge, it's like cost like $1,000.
Right.
They blow them up.
And they have been for a while.
Right. It only costs $32 to blow up a cow. They said tourists are going to just avoid the area if we keep doing this dead cow parts all around. We felt that it could be good for tourism. I mean, where else are you going to see this in the world? You know,
and where else are you going to get that kind of fun for just $32?
And so, that's for the whole cow. I mean, you could charge multiple people there.
Now, Joe went on the internet and looked up some farms that we could call in Austria.
There are several places listed in this area. One says Holiday in Austria.
Okay. Not Holiday in Austria.
Holiday on a farm.
Holiday on a farm? And then you got a couple of women.
Yeah, this doesn't work.
Female farm owners. All right.
Grüß Gott. Hier ist die Landwirtschaftskammer Fallberg in Bregenz. Wir sind momentan persönlich nicht erreichbar. Sie können gerne Ihre Nachricht auf
Feel like there should be some accordion music behind
it. Nennen Sie uns bitte Ihren Namen und Ihre Telefonnummer, damit wir Sie zurückrufen können.
One of the things I like about German is occasionally you get a word, telephone, a number. Yeah. Hello, calling about your holiday on a farm in Vorarlberg. We only speak English.
Well, give me a universal. Moo, boom, boom.
Oh, no,
888-973-8338.
Actually, you got the wrong numbers. No. It's 888-947-8338.
Moo, boom, boom.
No. They don't know why we're calling. We're calling.
Hell no.
And they speak very fluent English in Austria.
They do, so you go,
my apologies. Moo,
you go,
boom,
moo, boom, boom. That's pretty dumb. Anyway, we're calling to, we read about farms in your area and how they're blowing up cows, and we wanted to hear a little bit about it. And you can reach us, whatever time it is now, subtract 3 hours from that and try and call then. And the number is 888-947-8338. Plus, we'd like to give you a free plug for your holiday on a farm in Vorarlberg.
And we'll try you back if we don't hear from you.
Boo, boo, boo.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Let's try another number.
Sorry, I got the number wrong.
They all speak pretty good English?
Yes.
But just in case.
Moo, boom, boom.
They knew exactly what I meant.
All right, for those of you that are just tuning in, the Austrian province of Vorarlberg is going to ban the practice of blowing up dead cows.
Might be milking time or something there.
It'd take a long time to answer the phone in Austria. Lydia Kohler doesn't even have an answering machine. You picked girls' names, Joe.
Well, I figured, yeah, they probably would be friendlier off the bat.
Austrian girls, huh?
Kind of a St. Pauli girl image running through your head.
That's what he's got. I can see
push
that.
Push-up leader, hose.
Once you had a St. Pauli, once you've had your first girl, yeah. All right, should we try a different one?
Yeah, try one more.
You know, I wish you were a doctor, Joe. You could write me prescriptions. I could ask for any drug I want. They'd have to look at it. They'd say, yeah, it must be what it says. Joe has the worst handwriting. Now, hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Bridget?
Yeah.
Hi, Bridget. This is a radio show, Bob Rivers in the Morning, calling from the United States of America. We're calling to find out about your guest house and get a little taste of what it might be like there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you speak English?
Not so well.
Not so well, darn.
We don't speak any Austrian, unfortunately.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your beautiful farm? Is it a farm guest house?
Yes?
Tell us a little bit about it. Just speak in your language. It'll be so nice to hear.
Kann ich Deutsch sprechen, oder wie?
Uh-huh.
How many people can you accommodate? Could we bring, like, our families there, say, 8 people?
pro Wohnung. One apartment is two with five.
Very good. Yeah, 2-5. Yeah, one apartment. Good.
And
good.
One apartment, two with three.
Excellent. That's beautiful. And what does it look like inside? I'm sure it's very beautiful.
The amenities,
The amenities, yes.
The amenities, yes.
Weiß ich nicht, was Sie meinen. I don't know what you mean.
Shower?
Spike, you know some German. You must.
Tubbensy
cleansy?
Is it a tub or a shower?
Yes, shower. Yeah.
Shower, good.
Okay.
Down comforter, feather bed?
Goose down?
Me?
Okay, very good. And are there cows nearby?
Yes.
There are cows.
Cows and pigs.
Cows and pigs.
Pigs.
Lots of cows?
Cows, yeah.
Yeah. What happens when a cow dies?
Buys the farm.
No, she's not going to know that.
Mm.
Do they blow up the cows?
I don't know.
It's got to be a local story. Have you read in the newspaper about them blowing up cows?
Ever.
We were hoping to see that. If we came to visit.
Yeah, what time do they blow up the cows?
Oh, dang.
You know what? She hung up. That was the universal language of a prank call. You blew it, Spike.
I'm sorry. She wasn't getting her meeting, cowboy.
She knew about shower.
Well, she knew we weren't buying a room.
No.
She knew we weren't like 40 miles away on our way.
I hope we were friendly.
About the hookers.
Bob Rivers in the morning. Twisted Tunes.
They all you yuppies with millionaire dreams. Your quick path to riches ain't what it once seemed. And accept it that soon you'll have nothing to eat. Cause your assets have been frozen. And you better start looking or you're out on the streets. The dot-coms, they are a-closing. You dot-com investors with all that new bread, there is nowhere to see that correction ahead. So don't spend it too soon, your portfolio's red. From the startup that you've chosen, you're millionaires now, but there's tough times ahead. The dot-coms, they are a-closing. It's been a long time since your stock's in the black. That new Porsche Turbo will have to go back. You best take that job folding shirts at the Gap. Then at least you'll have clothing. It's better than out on the street selling crack. The dot-coms, they are a-closing. Didn't we used to have a whole band out here? But then that drummer we had working with us took all his gear back. Damn. Hey, I need that microphone and a harmonica, at least a harmonica. Please.
Funny side story to the dot-com's closing has been that the office furniture business is experiencing extremely hard times.
They're giving the stuff away, literally, some places.
And the reason for this is, as all these dot-com companies close in all major cities around the country, they all have blowing out our furniture sales. And the used office furniture market is killing the new office. Why would you buy any? I mean, the dot-com office furniture, it's like new.
It's pristine. These guys never even used pencils or anything.
they were waiting for the company to go public so they could just retire, and they didn't sit down much.
And they were building offices with literally no people in them. They'd hire temporary workers for the one day when the guy with the venture capital was walking in,
right,
to make it look like a huge operation.
But don't buy the chair the guy was sitting in when the report came in.
The financial report?
Yeah.
You know, we need some furniture. It's a great time to go look for some.
It is.
All right. In the meantime, you've been reading about the rising Mississippi River. Things are pretty bad on the Mississippi, actually. I don't know if this will be as bad as it was a few years back.
93 was the last time it got anywhere close to this, and in some places it's worse already than 93.
One of those places is Davenport, Iowa. You have to wonder what kind of person chooses to live in a flood-prone area, and even more, how do you encourage new residents to relocate to such an area? So we decided we would make an appointment to talk to the Davenport, Iowa Bureau of Tourism. Please welcome on the phone Mr. Dennis Leakey. Dennis, good morning.
How you doing, Bob?
Davenport, Iowa.
Well, man.
A great place to move your family, huh?
You bet you did, buddy. There's plenty of real estate available. I can get you double. I'd write cheat right about now, too.
I bet you could. The Mississippi River is rising again. Folks say this could be the worst ever.
Oh, well, I'm tired of hearing that. Every year, it could be the worst ever, and the next year, it doesn't even work. Yeah. We don't take that serious no more.
All right. Now, first off, Dennis, what is the status right now of the Mississippi River? And how close is Davenport to it?
Oh, we're right on the river.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we're one of the quality cities right on the river, and the river's coming. It's coming like a porno movie star, Bob. We know it's coming.
I can hear the river. Is that behind you? Hold on. Let me listen in. Is that the river?
Oh, yeah. I'm calling you from my office. The river's pretty much in it now. You just nail the desk down and move the baby pictures to the second floor. We know what to do. We've done it before.
Uh-huh.
But we're ready for it.
All right.
I have heard it's a little bit business as usual. The bars are still open in Davenport. People are still going out.
Hell yeah, man. But, you know, you don't order your shot with water anymore. You get all the water you need for free.
Right.
Yeah, we got the sandbags are in place, and you got more pumps in the mill than Marcos's closet. So we're ready to go.
Now, Davenport, Iowa. I know your job is to bring people in.
Yes, sir.
Would you say more of your job is to bring in tourists or to convince families or businesses to relocate their people to live there?
Well, we try to do a little bit of both.
A little bit of both.
Right now, tourism is paramount.
It is.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough time to get people to come in, tourist season and all that. Of course, the Sandbag Festival coming up next weekend. Don't miss that.
The Sandbag Festival?
Oh, man, well, you ain't left until you load the sandbags on the river, mate, with your kids. It's just a wonderful thing.
Uh-huh.
We're floating a new slogan by.
Uh-huh.
So tell me what you think about this. Davenport, come on in. The water's fine. What do you think?
Very accurate.
Actually, you know, it's probably not a good idea with all the raw sewage floating around. They have put a ban on swimming.
Oh, there is raw sewage?
Oh, man.
I heard over a million.
Soup out there, Bob.
Over a million gallons.
Isn't that smelling pretty?
Hmm. Dennis, how do you deal with flooding questions from potential visitors or future residents? What do you tell them about the river? Just expect it?
Well, you did. You got to do. You got to show the upside. You know what I mean?
Okay. What's the upside of flooding?
Well, are you married?
I am married.
Okay, you know how often your wife wants to redecorate, am I right?
Yeah.
How about if the government would pay for it every year?
That
sounds like a winner, don't it?
That's a great idea.
That's damn right it is, man.
So you get disaster relief money every year?
Every damn year. We get the government, we get tons of disaster relief money. Hell, you only have to work around here. You just wait for the flood to come and then get the government money and start all over again.
Well, there's got to be plenty of work to do. I saw the picture in the paper this morning, your entire baseball park is completely underwater.
Oh, yeah, all the parks are underwater. Baseball stadium underwater. All the kiddie parks are underwater. It's good, it's good. We got them all set to go. We're replacing the baseballs with little sandbags, little tiny sandbags. So when you hit a home run, you're helping stop the river. It's just a matter of taking what you got and making the most of it.
Mm.
Oh, damn, there goes my car. Oh, damn it, I just finished playing for that, too.
The president, by the way...
I don't want to play very often, you know?
Yeah. The president is saying that the government is considering not bailing out people more than once. In other words, if the same people live in the same flood area,
right.
You get one disaster, and then you get no more government aid. Have you heard about that?
I have heard about that, you know, and they're saying docs are the answer. Well, we tried docs 1 year. Big, strong docs, strong women.
Yeah.
But then
Ellen DeGeneres and Katie Lang come out.
Flooding was the same night as that big coming out show. They all went on television, half the city washed away.
All right. Well, it sounds like you've got things to attend to.
It's all done now. Everything's pretty much gone down the river.
All right.
I'm just waiting for the check to get here.
For the what?
For the check to get here from the government.
Thank you, Dennis Leakey.
Thank you, Bob. Come on down the aisle.
Why don't we call a real person in Iowa?